stick your dirty finger right in that cut.
Talkin' Audio.
It's graceful and beautiful and physical and angry all at the same time.
Were you idiot, your mind would cave in and your heart would explode within your chest.
This is going to be a shame.
Here we go!
All right, these come in the oft-frowned-upon smaller can, but breweries are still doing it, so nobody's listening to our opinions. Either here or on the brewery front, I guess.
You smug douche.
As long as they're not listening when they're opening up FanDuel or whatever, either.
Small cans and great sound.
Yeah, right.
That could be us.
Sure. Small, a lot of things. What do we got here? You brought the second round here today.
Okay. This is from Anderson out of London. Anderson Craft Ales.
Yes.
This is coming in at 6.7%. This is a coconut black IPA.
Fascinating.
So I thought, you know what, Matt would enjoy this. I could drink both these small cans.
Right in front of him.
On the other side. But I thought, you know what?
Look at this guy.
Matt's a good guy, and Matt deserves a break today. So
you love to hear that.
That is what's happening here, and that is what we are both drinking. I believe that's what we're both drinking. Matt did come in with two cans.
Yeah, no, I'm starting with... when you say, and we've both talked about this, the smaller can, right?
This is a 355.
Yep.
Yeah.
What is the, and maybe nothing's going to change your mind. What is the bare minimum alcohol percentage where you go, okay, I see why you did that. Or, okay, I'm fine with that. Or is it even like,
nine.
I don't care, this is like 10.2%. Give me the fucking big can.
Yeah, nine.
Okay.
Nine. And I'm fine with a big can.
Yeah.
I can... As I said, I can be my own liquor control board.
Right.
I don't need you telling.
That's been proven untrue so many times. But
I can still be my own liquor control board.
But I'll do it. I'd rather take a shot at it.
You can tell me I shouldn't. It would have been better if you didn't do that.
Right.
But if you're going to get up close to double digits.
Yeah.
And you're saying, yeah, this is a beer that you should treat like a glass of wine.
Mm.
You should wear your pants up high in the European way. Whatever, man.
Sniff it.
Yeah.
Has an oaky afterbirth.
Yes.
Afterbirth? What? No.
Residue? So, yeah, beyond that, 6.7 is not that. Is not that. And to be honest with you, I look at the 5% beers now and I'm like, psh. Beat it with the 5% beers. Like, really, I just...
Psh. I'm off to my meeting.
Yeah, this is it. And so... I never need the small can. Now, I was going to bring over, I had some grain and grit on the go, ready to come. But you guys, I believe Bunda was drinking.
Bunda was into some grain and grit.
Well, he was drinking some grit and grain. So I'm not sure if those
are
two different companies.
He'd already had a couple.
No, I gotta love the guy.
Yeah.
So I went with this. But grain and grit is another notorious small can that they've sort of moved away from that. They've gone, I haven't noticed it quite as much with the grain and grit.
Dominion still rolls hard with the small can now and then.
Prince Eddie's out of Prince Edward County.
Yeah.
They often go with the small can, but I have a couple things coming from them too that they've moved to the big can.
All right.
So everybody, if you get put on notice, you have a chance.
Yeah.
But if you want to get drank on the show on a regular basis, big can.
Yeah.
Big can, please. So have you had a pull on that?
Yeah, I've had a couple. So this is interesting. You get like a bit of a hint of coconut up front, then a wave of IPA, and then a trail of coconut again. Like it kind of hits you twice, but
wow.
It takes a second for that IPA to kind of punch up in the middle. Are you getting that?
Right now I'm just getting coconut.
Okay.
And I'm getting like a macaroon kind of coconut.
Yeah. When I think coconut, like it normally comes off like in something a little sweeter or whatever.
Right.
This has still got, to me, kind of in the middle.
I agree with you. It's not sweet.
It's got in the middle still a little of that IPA punch. Like to me, I'm getting a little coconut, then a big IPA, and then a more coconut at the end.
Right. Well, and it does come across as a bit more roasted coconut.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like I said, when you think of a macaroon, it has that.
I am thinking of a macaroon.
Well, and the black, and it's interesting because I am not getting a pile of sweetness in the first pull, because the black comes from more malt as well, more roasted malt in the IPA. And so you would expect it to be a bit more.
I expected more of you.
Yeah. But to me, I am.
Not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Right. Well, you have that voice. The tone says that. But coconut black IPA.
I like this a lot.
From Anderson out of London. So 6.7. Good for you, Anderson.
Yeah. Next time, big boy can.
Big boy can. That's all we have to say.
That's it. Otherwise, great beer. I guess this week we should probably talk about a lowly-ass franchise that has been horribly misrun.
Ottawa Senators.
Took the wind right out of my sail. I was going to build it up, had it all set here. Let's talk about the end of the Ottawa Senators season. Fuck you. Yeah. They had their last home game on Saturday. There is two more to go. Monday, Tuesday.
Yep.
Two more to go. For
Rangers, Bruins.
All right.
Nothing like easing out.
They do beat Montreal on the last home game of the year.
For the ninth.
Ninth consecutive time. You'd think just by accident, Montreal would trip and fall over a win somewhere.
Well, and the beauty is, Matt, that is the longest such streak in Habs franchise history. They've never had a 9-game losing streak.
To anyone?
To anyone else.
It's also, and I get why the first one was sweeter to you, I think it's the longest such win streak for Ottawa against any opponent.
It ties.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know who that other one is. It must be the Islanders.
The Thrashers or something.
Yeah, Islanders back in the sort of early 2000s.
Right. Oh, the Mike Pekka days? The
small Pekka.
Okay. So, look, we've sort of kept an eye on the Sens all year. It's been fairly unimpressive.
It's been fiery and disappointing, like bad Mexican food.
I was going to say the morning after night at the... look, we've talked about some things. I don't know how you think this all fits together. Your level of frustration / disappointment / anger over they lose a first-round pick in the first half of this year over a just botched trade.
Yeah.
We've got a 41.
We're waiting to see if we can pull the Lou Lamoriello thing, if Ann Lauer can.
I'm surprised, and we can get to this, I guess. There's a lot of people who just assume that's coming. Well, the Devils got theirs back.
Yeah, so no, I'm not assuming.
Yeah.
But
I do think it's on the table.
Well, Ann Lauer being a former alternate governor.
He spent $950 million dollars on this junk pile.
And I've inherited. So that guy shit the bed. Now I have to. So that is all I'm thinking.
There is liability when you buy something.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Of course. And they're kicking it down the road. Yeah. There's no way that they're giving up either one of those two first round picks this year.
No. Just ride it out until you absolutely can't.
You got to give it up. Yeah. And if you have to acquire something later, but.
I get that. So we got that. We got the betting thing with Shane Pinto,
damn,
the firing of a GM, the firing of a coach. I think most Sens fans were ready for both of those things to happen. The timing, we can certainly argue about whether it should have been done sooner. I don't know, man. Like, this is... Where does this rate for you? Like, going into last season, we were talking about hot Pierre Summer, right? What a good... He went and did the DeBrincat thing, and he'd brought
two summers ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you say that?
The framing was tough. Going into last season is what I said.
Okay.
So that's fair enough. And it didn't go very well. But they did have some moments.
I love that Giroux signing.
Sure.
I love that Giroux signing.
And then they do manage to get to a place... later in the season, they have that 2-game series against Detroit, win both of them. Looks like, you know, they're going to at least be in the mix. And
we want the playoffs moment beating Columbus after that, and they were within 2 points of a playoff berth.
Right.
That was chills, man. You're like, fuck yeah, I am ready for that.
And that was my all of that season. I had said, look, they finished 28 points out the year before. You don't necessarily take that whole leap. Like, I wasn't totally buying into the hype yet.
Yep.
But coming into this season, they end up, what, only like 6 points out last year after all the things we just talked about, right?
Yeah, I think it finished 6 points.
So they had closed, but it's not always linear, as we saw pretty dramatically played out this year.
Ask New Jersey.
Right. for sure ask New Jersey. We just talked about all the shitbirds trying to squeak in at the end. They're way behind them. So
and New Jersey not being one of them.
Right. Below the shitbirds, which is never where you want to be.
That's actually where I am.
So this year, when you look back at this Sen season, I'm just curious, when exactly did you decide they were done? When did you check out? What's the, I don't, legacy is too strong. Yeah, people aren't going to remember this year. But like, when did you know, oh, fuck, like, this is another year where it's not going to happen?
It for sure was in December.
Yeah.
Right. And I didn't check out. As I've said to you in the past, I remember when there would only be 60 Sens games on TV a year, right? Like not every game was televised. Sure, yeah. And so you never missed one, right? And then as it got to a spot where all 82 games are covered and it's much more, you take it for granted, but it's, to me, it's always must see TV,
right?
If the Sens are on, man, that's what I'm doing
tonight.
That's
what I'm watching. Yeah.
That's what I got going on. And there was a stretch here in February, 5 games I didn't watch. Like I just, I'd sort of check the, you know, my phone to see.
Because was that quick, like when they brought in Martin, you're like, okay, there's always that dead cat bounce. And it didn't come. Like they didn't start winning as soon as he, but they did eventually.
Was Pinto. Pinto January? Came back. Yeah.
January, they sort of got it going and then immediately lost it again. As you said, kind of in February.
They had a stretch of, they were 10-2-2.
Yeah.
And you're still so far back that you're like, we went 10-2-2.
Well, I think JR said they made up 2 points.
Your 3 points is what I think it was. Okay. And you're like, oh. And loser then the points. Inevitable. Yeah. Skid comes. Swoon. I do like swoon. And so, yeah, there was a 5-game period where I didn't watch any of it. Like, I didn't turn the game on at all.
Yeah.
And for me, that's a huge thing, right? Because it's become habitual, right? That's what I'm doing tonight. That's what I'm doing. I'm probably making dinner, listening to Creech on the pregame.
Yeah.
And I turn it off when the game starts because I have PVR'd like an old man.
Game. Yeah.
Threw my phone behind the couch and just watched the game. And so, yeah, it's probably after that 10-2-2 stretch where I just went, they started to skid again. And you're like, fuck, whatever. I got things to do. Jays are coming up.
Sure.
And now I'm equally aggravated.
Yeah. There'll be a 5-game stretch where you don't watch any of them either.
Ah, man. And I just sort of.
It might be this week.
and if you can allow me one more. Sort of small, it's the Schadenfreude thing in me, you know, watching the game on Saturday night and Tkachuk, he's laying out halves, scoring 2 goals, just wreaking havoc. And they put up a stat, you
career
know,
high, 36, I think this year.
37 right now.
Okay.
And they were saying most goals 24 and under in the league this year. Number one, Brady Tkachuk, 37 goals. Number two on the list, care to have a guess? Nick Suzuki of your Montreal Canadiens.
Okay.
And Gary Galli says, and the strange thing is, Montreal could have had them on the same line had they not drafted Kotkaniemi. And I'm like, yes, Gary! Stick your dirty finger right in that cut, because that is, not only is he our captain and doing things.
Doing his things, yeah.
But Montreal, the fact that you never, never let Montreal off the hook on.
Well, that combined with the 9-0 run or whatever.
Yeah.
9-0 and, or
well, seven. And he plays them and he gets 10 hits a game and he never goes a game against Montreal without scoring. So that is.
Wanted to brawl with Nico Hischier.
Yeah. Well, he just grabbed Nico Hischier.
Sure,
like he needs to grab his brother when they play next
time.
Can't believe anybody might
break the code when it comes to an empty net etiquette. That's
Well, and that's interesting. The only difference is the game was still going when Ridley Gregg did it. It wasn't going.
Okay.
Well, there is a difference.
Okay.
100%.
Okay. How different is it? And like, we're going to, I guess, go into next season with all the same questions again about Josh Norris.
Yeah.
How different is this season if Pinto is in the lineup all year? Do they make up much? Do they get closer? Like, obviously, it'll be closer.
Yeah. They don't make up not nearly enough.
Yeah.
Is it as bad? That's a lot to put on a guy. You're like,
who was supposed to be your 3, turns out to be your 2, even before Norris
Last night was your one.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
No Norris, no Stützle last night.
Yeah.
And it's man, the bottom half of the lineup, the bottom six.
Yeah.
Looks like the second half of the Jays batting lineup. Thin. Not like, thin, maybe even. So to me, when I watch this.
When you're worried about Mark Costello getting hurt, you're like, that's not a good sign.
Yeah. Well, and you got, that's your Parker Kelly,
yeah.
Kostelic.
Sub Parker Kelly.
And whoever else they got over there, that's your third line last night. Anyways,
yeah.
I watch this game. I watch this team now, and I go on defense. You go, is there going to be Chychrun won't be there with his.
Well, that's what worst, I was going to. How big
worst
of a,
5-on-5 numbers in the NHL. Like most, he's the guy who's been on the ice for the most 5-on-5 goals.
So if I recall correctly, I suggested a while ago I would keep Chychrun. Yeah. And I would deal Shabbat. And you, I think you were on the other side, but I don't think you were like hard against.
Yep.
That.
I'm on Team Shabby.
Yeah. Are you now more staunchly on Team Shabby than you were a month or two ago?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I think I've pushed harder. At that time, I was just like, yeah, Chychrun's going to be easier to trade of two sort of.
Right. Easier contract, only 1 year left, you know.
To me and the guys on 1200, whether it's Lloydy or whoever, have talked about it ad nauseum. They ran AJ had an interview with Jacques Martin last week. And he asked Jacques about Shabby and what that looks like. And to me, Jacques' comments were refreshing. Hmm. But he's like, yeah, Shabby needs to get fitter. Shabby needs to get stronger. Shabby needs to be better defensively. He needs to commit himself to this. And the organization needs to get a stabilizer with him.
Right.
And in that whole conversation, never.
Zoob 2, electric boogaloo.
Yeah, well, sure, we'll do that, man. they never mentioned Chychrun. Like, to me, that's it's not like we need someone. Because that was, as I've said earlier in the year on the pod, that whole Zubin Sanderson, Shabbat, and Chychrun, that's your top four. That comes with it as a whole bunch of ifs and buts. What's going to happen? Who's going to play the right side? And how's that going to work?
Well,
In hindsight, it never did.
No. And in hindsight, like we talked about, what they gave up to get a Jacob Chychrun was fine. It's a perfectly acceptable deal, but it's not what you needed.
Just
it didn't
wasn't
fit
what you
right.
needed.
And it in hindsight, you look and you go, DeBrincat. Is that exactly, you know, that's a good player. And I don't remember the trade seeming, you know, like the Sens got crushed in it or anything like that. But, you know, with a little pro scouting, a little research, you go, he's not going to be happy being on the second line. And, you know,
he's not going to be happy. Dot, dot,
in
dot.
General. Yeah. And so that's sort of maybe the legacy as much as anything of the Pierre Dorion regime is.
But we got Kubalik.
We got good. Yeah, you did. You sure did.
Come on, man. Don't overlook the Kubalik.
Graham Nichols, our buddy there, tweeted out at some point that, oh, man, I can't believe the Sens fired a couple pro scouts and then listed underneath the things that those pro scouts had done recently.
Unbelievable.
So I just, you know, Dorion making moves for good players, but that don't necessarily fit your puzzle or what you're trying to do. And
so you had a lineup, had a lineup last night that had Boku Amama in it. It had Yuri Schmeichel. It had
another fun name.
McEwen in it. It had Kostelic. It had Parker Kelly.
Yeah.
You're running through all your, you know who was not healthy? You know who was healthy but was scratched last night?
Kubalik.
Dominic Kubalik. You're looking at that. You're looking at that murderer's row. You're like, couldn't make it in there, eh? But he scored 30 goals once in the league.
Right. Sure did.
Yeah. Great. What are you doing for me now?
When you look into this offseason, you know, it sounds like you think Chychrun's going to be gone. Do you think there will be major change to, and you can draw the line wherever you want as the top three guys, the top five guys, the top. Do you think there will be major change, a piece that Sens fans kind of have to scratch their head and go, wow, I can't believe that guy got shipped out of here. You know, even if it's for a different position or, you know, trying to change the mix a bit. Do you see that?
I think it becomes less. Yeah. I think the blue line is where you start to look at where the change is going to be. So obviously Hamonic is gone. We haven't even seen that guy. He's he's healthy but not playing. So
his no move currently means not moving out of the press box.
Well, which means you'll have to do something because you'll be bought out.
Yeah.
And at 1.1 or 1.2, that's... Psh.
Wasn't this the second year of the 2 year?
It is.
Yeah.
No, he's got one more year after this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it was a 2 year deal signed last summer.
Okay.
So he's gone. Chychrun's gone. God. What happens with the Brännström thing? You know, he's still an RFA. I think he has arb rights, but I'd be surprised. And that's what happens. When I watch the game now, I go, hopefully that guy won't be back.
Right.
Hopefully that guy won't be back. Right. Just in terms of stability, what you have in terms of growth from within, Kleven will be up on a permanent basis. I keep JBD on a bottom pairing.
Yeah.
But you need, by hook or by crook, like, I look at, and whatever you think of plus minus as a useful stat in these days of much more advanced analytics, Dylan DeMello plus 40 in Winnipeg. And when Chabot played with him, he was that exact stabilizing thing. I'm not asking for Dylan DeMello back. But
could we refund that? Could we undo that?
But yeah, well, they traded him for a fourth. And you're like, well, we could have kept him at least and left him as a second pairing right shot who is perfectly capable of knowing where he needs to be in the defensive zone and making the initial pass. That's seems like a simple task. So all I'm saying is there will be a couple of new faces on the D. I think the faces we were hoping to maybe move out, I think the Norris injury.
Yeah.
Puts a huge ding in.
You're not getting anything for him now. So you just keep him.
And so to me, he is, when you looked at guys on the top, you looked at Batherson, you looked at Norris, right? Those are the guys who are under contract that you went one, both up front of those guys. But man, you look at Batherson at 4.8, he's going to score 30 goals this year.
Yep.
So who do you
sometimes it's about the mix, though, right?
Like 100%.
I don't know. I it's tough. Like, there clearly needs to be changes, but they're not obvious, right? They're not. I don't know what this team's going to do.
Because you're not flipping. You're not getting rid of a goalie.
Well,
you got Korpisalo.
Yeah.
Or Forpisalo. You have him for another 4 years.
Yeah, sure do.
And you still have Forsberg under contract for one more year.
Yeah.
And while the amount is not onerous, you can't start buying out.
It's a little odorous.
Yeah. A bunch of stuff comes off the books this year, but you can't start going, okay, well, then we're going to put Hamonic on there and we're going to buy out Forsberg. Like, you can't. The cap goes up, people come off the books.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got to be careful with that. So I would not be
room for Carlson.
Matt is hard on that.
I think it's going to be on the table.
Honestly, I will be frowny face. I went through a bunch of things went through my head, and I'm like, I'm going to have to settle on frowny face because that is not what I want to see here. I don't want to see that. You need somebody who is, well, I'd be happy with a Sean Walker type.
Right.
Right, that is what we're talking about. Just a guy who is going to play there. And
just a guy. Just a Dylan DeMello. Just a guy.
Just a Dylan DeMello. Yeah. And I who never thought you'd be calling out for the Dylan DeMello?
Right.
The double D, I totally get.
Always calling out for that.
Calling out. But yeah, that is so. It turns out you're going to have to get some of your JT Comfers. You're those sorts of guys, right? You're Sprongs that Detroit went out.
Get Sprong.
I like big butts. So it those are the kinds of things, right? Where you look around and you go, well, I guess that's what we need on the third line.
Last thing on the Sens then. 2 years ago, Sens dealt Nick Paul to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Nick Paul does it all.
He proceeded to help take apart the Maple Leafs.
And I cheered.
I bet you did. A lot of people did. A lot of text messages.
He and the amber arches his eyebrows. He always looks really surprised.
In game 7, I think he got 2 goals.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Did Tarasenko do enough here to win? And I get it. It doesn't take much to get people to cheer for someone to take down the Leafs. if it's Leafs Panthers, is Tarasenko a fan favorite here in Ottawa still?
100%. Yeah. To me, that guy came in here and exceeded my expectations in terms of a guy who was actually a more complete hockey player than I really thought.
Right.
He could have scored more. He seemed to have a lot of opportunities that went post or just wide, and you're like, but he is the kind of guy who you could see dagger.
Yeah.
In a Leaf.
It wouldn't shock anybody if he scored 4 goals in a 7-game series or whatever, and all of them in big moments. He's got a cup. Like, he's got plenty of playoff experience. He's not what he once was, but still capable of scoring. And
I'll be pinching a nipple and looking hard up to the right. Like, I want you to have the full visual.
I wish I didn't.
Like, maybe my tongue is slightly out of my mouth. I don't know what's happening there. It is ecstasy. You can hear the angels. Oh, that's what I hear with 4 goals from Tarasenko. Against the league. That is, I'm hearing celebration by Kool and the Gang right now. That's what's happening. That's a background.
Is it because he made a good impression here, or is this, he's just the guy dismantling the Leafs?
Yes. and it's really, that is, I to me, the guy was, he was all that you could have hoped for. He wasn't here long enough to really leave a...
Yeah, Nick Paul's a different type of player, too.
He came up.
He was here a longer time, and he's the type of player people like to cheer for. Tarasenko was only here a short time, but anybody dagger in Toronto?
100%, man. That is... And so... But he is the guy who could be under the radar good for Florida in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's a nice addition for, I don't know, the 8th round pick that we got for him.
And there's only 7 rounds.
Yes. There's not even an 8th round. Yeah, whatever it was, a 3rd round and a 4th, or I don't know. But
it
either way.
It becomes a double bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah.
If they make it to the cup.
But I want the medium fries. I better get a medium fry with that.
The Arby's curly fries.
No.
Boo.
Yeah, I'm not down for that.
No.
We've had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fun, but now the time has come to go. If this still clown was found dead in his bed tomorrow, I'd be in heaven still doing this show. See you some other time!